We'd like to invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church this Sunday for worship. We are committed to preach through the Word of God. We are committed to Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Again, those worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
The Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful you tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. Maps to churches in your area. Download all the podcasts. Subscribe through iTunes. We've gone to a lot of work there on that website at agradio.org. We want that to be a blessing to you. If you don't have the means to get on the internet, you can call us at 1-888-504-8805. 1-888-504-8805. You can support us over the phone or online. All of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. So thank you for your prayerful and your financial support. Today on Abounding Grace, this is really part two of the message, When Knowledge Stumbles. And this is so important from 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, where the Apostle Paul is wrestling through what proper knowledge does. It produces love that edifies. And if we're doing things in the Christian life that are harming our brethren, that are causing hurt to their conscience, then we're not loving. And that knowledge then has been used to become a stumbling block. Well, the Apostle Paul here is dealing with that, and you're going to be amazed at what he does. He had the right to enjoy many material blessings from the Lord, but he was willing to forfeit that for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of his brothers' consciences. We can learn so much from this as to what a mind of a servant looks like. So this is part two of When Knowledge Stumbles from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we hope this edition of Abounding Grace is a blessing to you.
So that is where we left off. Separation and division was the farthest thing from the Spirit who comes alongside us in our weaknesses and carries them and helps us and forbears and teaches us. You can't ram that down sensitive consciences, throats. You can't do that. So Paul said something at the very end last time in verse 13 that launches us into tonight. He said, listen, if eating meat stumbles my brother, I'll never do it again. I am willing to sacrifice and never have any meat again for their consciences. Now, he's not done, which I find so fascinating that you'd think that the point would have been made. But people don't hear this. They don't hear this. They don't think carefully enough about what it looks like in their own lives. And Paul now devotes what we have in the scriptures before us, another chapter to this whole issue. Chapter 9 is all about this. And what he does at this point is provide himself as a powerful example to convict these Corinthians of how radically off their behavior really is. In the first few verses of chapter 9, he begins with a series of questions. You'll notice all the questions that he posed there. And notice all the eyes. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Now, the basic approach that's taken to this is that Paul was responding to people who were challenging his apostolic authority. That did go on. That was a problem in Corinth. But I don't believe that's essentially what he's doing here. He's doing something interesting here, fascinating here. What he's doing is really raising out of the roof his position. It might seem boastful at first, but he's essentially saying, I want you to think about what I am. I am an apostle. He's bolstering his position in front of them. You kind of see what he's doing if you put, these come in the negative. Am I not? Am I not? Am I not? Put it in the positive for a minute and just listen to it. I am free. I saw the Lord. I am an apostle. You are my workmanship. You see what he just did? Look at who I am. Why is he doing that? Why is he bolstering his position right now? Well, I suspect he knew what people were running around saying when he just said, if it stumbles my weaker brethren, I'll never eat meat again. Can you hear what the strong were saying? Can you hear it? My guess is you had these Judaizers who were judging and holding people in bondage over days and foods. We know that went on. But here was the apostle in some of the stronger Christians, Gentiles who understood their freedoms, looking at Paul, catering to the weak Christians who were really struggling with this, saying, are you kidding, Paul? I mean, you put this in our day, he'd get postered. What do I mean? You'd get labeled. I'll never eat meat again. This guy's a fundamentalist. This guy's a pietist. And whatever name you want to give him. You're letting your conscience be raided by these weak Christians. How dare you? Don't give in to them. It's compromise. You hear, Paul? I know I'm free. I know what I am. Do you know what I am? Now keep in mind, this section is talking about those who have all this knowledge. And they know their freedom. They know the law. And Paul appeals to what they know about him. You know I'm free. You know I'm an apostle. The emphasis here is, here's what you know about me. You know Christ appeared to me on that Damascus road. You know I begot you in the gospel. I was a father to you in this. You know it began with me for you. You know my authority. Let me tell you, if you want to examine me, let's go ahead and talk about my rights for a minute. I'll tell you about my rights for a minute. You want to talk about rights? Let's talk about rights. Verse 4, do I not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not? Apostles, again. Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife? As the other apostles and the brothers of our Lord, brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to restrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? He's hitting hard with freedoms and rights, isn't he? It's really fascinating how he's dealing with this. Let me tell you about my rights, says Paul. I understand. I have knowledge that there's a freedom given to me in Christ. I could eat and drink whatever I want. And I also have a right, just like the other apostles, to take along a believing wife. You say, what do you mean? Well, by the way, you see here the brothers of the Lord had wives. Kind of doesn't fit that they couldn't be married. Doesn't fit the Roman argument. What happened? They would take their wives with them. Peter had a wife. Peter took his wife with him on the missionary journeys. And Paul says, I understand that I have this freedom. What the issue is here tonight is this. He raises the issue of payment for gospel labors. And what he's saying here is, I have the right to receive material and financial remuneration for our labors, just like all the other apostles are getting, and their wives. If I want to take a believing wife with me on the journey, I could do it just like they're doing it. They have the right to be supported too. And Paul keeps bolstering the point. Who goes to war at his own expense? Do you guys send off soldiers and don't pay them? No, you don't do that. You feed them and you care for them. You give them the best. When you plant a vineyard, is it only to be refused for your enjoyment? You can't have any of the fruit? Of course not. If you have cows, listen, I've been to a lot of dairymen's houses. One of the blessings of a dairyman is they bring in the fresh milk off the table, but you can't drink it. You'll get sick. But they get the fresh milk out of the cow. They get that right, don't they? Did you know I have 6 chickens at the parsonage? Yeah, I've never done that before. I didn't do it in the country and living. I moved to the city and I get 6 chickens, and I'm loving getting eggs all the time. They're my eggs, and I have the right to those eggs, don't I? You can't come take my eggs. I have a right to these things, says Paul. And he presses harder. You'll see what he's doing in a minute. Verses 8 through 11, he makes the case that actually the law of God commands this. The law of God commands that servants who tend to the gospel ministry be paid. And be paid well, to be taken care of. So he says, look at verse 8. Do I say these things on human authority? No. Does the law not say the same? For it's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it for the oxen God said that? No, I didn't say that for the oxen. Sure, he fed the oxen when it worked hard. But he speaks for us. It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope. And the thresher should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. Here it is. If we've sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, if Peter gets paid, do we not deserve that even more? The entire Old Testament taught you this. Look at how the Levites were cared for. God commanded this. You pay your servants to minister to you as the ox treads out the grain and you feed it, you care for your ministers. The Lord taught us that principle throughout the Old Testament, says Paul. Paul says, if we've sown spiritual things for you, don't we get to reap material benefits? Do you enjoy material benefits? Sure you do. Does not the pastor get to enjoy material benefits? Sure he does. We can enjoy the blessing of the Lord for our labors. We're entitled to that. Actually, God commanded that. I can enjoy that, says Paul. Material blessing. All the other apostles get it. Don't we get to? Well, the church would say, of course, Paul, of course. It's clear that those who do this and those who are called to be ministers, Paul says, are to be paid for, cared for. But then in verse 6, you start to feel the shock of what he's doing. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? He just said something shocking. He had every right in the world to be paid for his labors and enjoy material benefits. All the apostles did. But Paul and Barnabas decided not to. That's remarkable. He said, instead, Barnabas and I have decided to work with our hands and not receive anything from you guys. To which you say, anyone in their right mind, what are you doing? God commanded that. It was a command of God. The punch of this has to do with the fact the law commanded it. He references it as a command from God. We have every freedom in this. It's a command of God. You do this. We forfeited it. And in verse 8, he says that. In verse 13, you'll notice as he goes on there, actually 12, in the middle of 12, nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. What an amazing statement. And then right after that, he goes in and says, but, do you not know that those who were employed in the temple service got their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. That's the standard. We forfeited. And all of you are saying, why, Paul? Why would you do that? Before I answer that, I want you to think of the scenario again. These knowledgeable, strong Christians, these all-knowing Christians are eating meats with total disregard to their weaker brethren. And the strong are holding it out as a whipping on the weak. And all of their fruit of their convictions and knowledge produced what? Separation in the body of Christ. That was the fruit of them doing this. And there was one word that Paul said at the beginning of chapter 8 to solidify and to make the major point of what he's after here. He said, that's all wrong, dear Corinthians, because there is no love. And I can't get away from Matthew 23 again when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and he gets really agitated with the Pharisees that they're keeping the law to a T, but they're neglecting the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and truth. So in other words, by their keeping the law, they nullified the law of love. Their convictions, we can do this, we can't do this, had the sad fruit of no love. And Paul says, you know nothing. And now we understand Paul. He takes this extreme example in his own life to make a point. The law itself commanded that he be provided, and he said no. Why? He didn't have to take it. Because in this particular circumstance, as an apostle, he says, it would have caused a stumbling block to some. How so? I had to think about that. How would that cause a stumbling block to some? My guess is that in the New Testament, he warned about those who were doing ministry for financial gain. You don't go into this for financial gain. But as a missionary to the Gentiles, he was going to the poor. And as he ministered, he was concerned that in his apostolic witness, potential converts who would hear the message for the first time would think that Christianity came with strings attached. And it meant that now the burden on these poor Christians was that they would have to keep him going when they could barely keep themselves going. Well, that's not the norm. God wants his ministers freed up to be able to devote all their time to this. I know Paul took money from the Philippians. So that's one possibility. The other one is that he took money from the Corinthians, but he wouldn't, or Philippians, but he wouldn't take it from the Corinthians. And the Corinthians were a filthy rich church. It was a status symbol in that culture. Would Paul feel owned at that point? Think about that. Would Paul feel owned? And would their hold on him hurt his message? I think you guys need to understand that struggle. Not this particular church, just in general. Christians do about pastors. We don't do this for gain, but there has been a hold on pastors over this issue. We treat pastors as if they've taken a vow of poverty. I never signed a vow of poverty. I didn't sign a vow of poverty. But the stress of living in a fishbowl is not easy. It's a fishbowl. And in Paul's circumstance, whatever it was, I don't think we really know. But whatever it was, he had the right to enjoy material blessings from the Lord. Pastors have that right. Nobody says they have to be poor. But he decided, in concern for certain people, that it would be better in that particular scenario to work with his hands so that it would free him up from holds on him. And judging. All the stuff I just described, he wouldn't have to deal with. And here's the point tonight. Paul says to them, I have a right to this. I have a right to enjoy these things. I have a right to enjoy blessings from the Lord's hand through you. God commanded it, but I was sacrificially willing to let it go so that I wouldn't be a stumbling block. Do you feel that? Here are the strong You're causing your brothers confusion by your attitude, your pride, your convictions. You're beating everyone over the head with them. That's not edifying love. That's not the law of love. You may lose business relationships for this. You may lose political allies. You may lose neighbors. You may lose contracts if you don't go into those trade guilds and eat. But you know, that's a small price to bear and to carry for your brothers. But when you lower yourselves like this for the sake of your brethren, that displays the mind of Christ and your love for your brethren, your concern for them, and your witness to those who don't have the gospel. And this is why Paul says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. I preach it freely. There's a priority to that. And that's such an important word. There's a necessity to that. There's a priority in all this. And I'm willing to sacrifice my own rights and do something that the Lord even commanded. Now get that in our heads, that He commanded for the sake of my brethren, for the advancement of the gospel. That's the spirit He wants. Have you met people who are equally ultimate on every issue? It's not really that they are. It's that they found one issue that they can justify themselves over to the condemnation of the rest. And it becomes a way of separating and separating over things that shouldn't separate, neglecting the weightier matters of the law. Our love should edify. And all this is setting us up for what he's about to say in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. The great contrast of this passage, when you know something, and you have understanding in something, if you've learned anything, ask yourself this question. Does that knowledge that I have puff me up, producing the sad fruits of division and fighting and confusion, or does it promote the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Beautiful stuff. Some of the ugliest things that I have seen are from sectarians who are always separating out into their own little communions as the last one standing on the truth. And it's always over some fine point of the law, and you know what I never see in them? A gospel spirit. A gospel spirit. The apostle put on display before us an example of the kind of spirit tonight, the kind of willingness to yield. I mean, look what he did, that the Lord desires in his church. It's the mind of Christ. May then the gospel we say, we know, and believe, and confess, and talk about justification, and talk about how we're right with God, produce behavior that's consistent with that, with love that edifies one another, since it's by the love of Christ that we've been saved. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you instruct us this way. And if you move our hearts to do things like this, for the sake of our brethren, give us the strength to do it, the conviction to do it, the wisdom to do it, and to know that this kind of sacrificial love is what pleases you. And may in all of our lives, while you give us so much to enjoy and so many freedoms, to enjoy material things, which was a blessing we all get tonight from pastor to people. May those never become stumbling blocks. And as we enjoy those things, and as you give us to enjoy those things, may it always be that we demonstrate love in how we treat one another, whether it's in our eating or drinking. May all things be done for your glory and the edifying of one another in love. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We do invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org. The message you just heard was When Knowledge Stumbles, Part 2, which was Part 2 of Part 2. So I hope that's clear for you if you visit the website. Last week we aired Part 1. We also invite you to call us at 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. You can support us there online or over the phone. Please remember that all of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you and to those in your region. So thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Until next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. You are welcome to join us for worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. The web address is escondidourc.org. Escondidourc.org. Address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.